Go ahead and turn, as you're waiting, let's turn to Galatians chapter number 5. Just to kind of be a closing, hopefully, I'll just try to wrap up a study we've been doing together on joy, in particular, talking about, base things, in particular, talking about joy, things that maybe we overlook, especially this world overlooks. You know, they want things from God, but they don't want to get it from God. Joy comes from the Lord, right? The true joy. The world wants the joy that comes, the joy that comes as being a Christian, if you are truly saved and you have that through the Spirit. They want that joy, but they don't want to go to the God who gives it. They don't want to go to the God that provides it and supplies it. We looked at joy. So it's where are we at? Let me turn to Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians. Galatians 5. And let's just start here in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Where's my joy at? Are you walking in the Spirit? Or are you walking in the flesh? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I want to have joy. I want to have that fruit of the Spirit. But I don't have it. I can't have it. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, so you cannot do the things you would. You want to have the joy. You want to have that fruit of the Spirit. But if you're walking in the flesh, which we've walked in most of our lives, or we're so used to walking in, at least we fed it way before we ever were in the Spirit. We fed the flesh, and our flesh had time to grow. But if you be led of the Spirit, verse number 18, ye are not under the law. We're not under the law, but because we don't need the law, because we are walking in the Spirit, we're fulfilling the law, right? We don't need the law to tell us what to do. We have the Holy Spirit in us, so we have God in us, so we are fulfilling the law. Number 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Man, you see that in our world today, don't you? Especially in America, we see that on our streets. We see murders. We see envying in our everything you watch, everything you hear. Drunkenness is praised. Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And look, it's repeated again. Against such, there is no law. There is no law. So, we have been studying joy. There's a lot that we look through. There's a lot of verses on joy through the entire Bible. We saw joy associated with, a lot of times you see it associated with, like, you know, gladness of heart, or even noise. We know the famous psalm passage, make a joyful noise. So something seems to have, it has some effect on our emotion, on our outworking of our, like, there's some noise comes out, tends to come out when you have joy inside. If I have something inside of me and I can't hold it in, and it's got to let it out, just burst out with joy. You see this in, you know, maybe we go to sports games or something like that, when the fans are in the stages, and they're just so excited that their team scored a point. They're not even on the team, but they're rooting for the team that they're cheering on. They scored a point, and they jump out. Woo! Touchdown! Soccer, it's even, they wake up. Oh, scored a goal! It took a few hours, maybe. No, just kidding. Just kidding, soccer's fun. Soccer, same like soccer. But there's joy. There's excitement, because when that person finally scores the goal after 30 minutes of back and forth, people get rowdy. They get so excited sometimes people are running onto the field because a person scored a goal. So much is inside of them, and it comes out that they can't contain themselves. They're just so, and they didn't even win anything. Maybe they were betting on the game. Maybe, okay, I'll give you that. But the majority of people aren't betting on the game. They're just there because they're excited and they want to have fun. They want to see this person score, kick a ball into a goal, and that's fine. But you see that there's an outworking of what's inside of that person. The same way with a believer, we have this joy in Christ. We have this fruit of the Spirit. Something ought to come out at some point if I really have this joy. I mean, I question myself, why am I so excited about this thing over here or that thing over there that has nothing to do with God, and it's not necessarily a sin, but I'm excited about it. And then when I come to church, what a day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be. Think of the words I'm saying. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. This is not some superhero that's made up by some fan fiction that flies through the air and shoots laser beams out his eyes and has kryptonite to stop him. This is Jesus Christ, who had nothing could stop him. Death couldn't even hold him. Shoots through the ground, gets people out of the heart. He didn't burn in hell. He passed through hell, went to the paradise, brought people out of the heart of the earth. He led captivity captive, busted out of the grave 3 days and three nights later. That's superhero. That's a superhero right there, man. Say and offer salvation to the whole world, not just like a person about to get hit by a car over here, maybe a train about to get wrecked. The entire world now has means of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ because of what this one man did, one God in the flesh, what this one person did. Man, and that's exciting. That's something to be, whoo, I should be excited about that. But why am I not? Maybe I'm just walking in the flesh. Or maybe the flesh is just, because as we read Galatians 2, we're in Galatians 2, 5, 22. Maybe the flesh just has so much over me that I'm not allowing the Spirit to have control. And I'm not walking in the Spirit. And then that joy is not really able to come out. It should be there. It is there. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But if I'm not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to see that. You're not going to be able to see the fruit of the Spirit. So we saw that all through the Bible. All through the Bible we saw where joy was used with noise or shouting, rejoicing. People coming back from war and the Jews, you saw them excited and making shouting for joy because they won. Heard pastors say, emotion is not the root of salvation, but it can be the fruit. All right, you don't get saved by your emotions, but it can come out of you after you're saved, right? Should. You see people who are broken and destitute and they know that they're a sinner and they beg God to save them. There is some emotion there because of what they have in their heart, because of what they're sorrowful for their sin. They're repenting of it and turning to the one that saved them. And then there's joy there for knowing what God did for them. Right? There is some emotion that happens on you should see their countenance change there. We were excited, right, when we got saved, hopefully. I'm not going to burn in hell for eternity. Praise the Lord. I don't want anybody to go to hell. But I'm so glad that I'm not going there. You know, you got to get, when you're in an airplane, they always tell you, if the oxygen masks fall down, put your mask on first. If you don't have your mask on, you can't help someone else. Well, you need to get saved first. Like, don't worry about other people getting saved. You're the one. You need to call on the Lord to save you. And then you can go and tell other people how to get saved, right? The joy of the Christian. We looked at angels even shouting for joy in the Old Testament. We saw David shouting for joy, angels shouting for joy, and we were even outdone by the cornfields and the sheep shouting for joy, hopefully not more than the Christian. Not us here, at least not in this church. I need this, okay? I'm saying this because I need this. God gave me this for me, I believe, and maybe you can take it or you can leave it, but I really need this. And then we kind of ended with, we moved into just touched on a few sections on joy in the not so enjoyable. So this would be a part two to that, or a continuation of joy in the not so enjoyable. We saw joy in suffering. We saw joy in temptations, joy in the spoiling of goods. But heaven's, our home's in heaven, praise the Lord. So joy in the not so enjoyable. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's just for a moment, put aside everything that's outside the world, everything we got going on. We got to worry about at home or maybe our family. Let's just give God some time today. not just in Sunday school, but also, you know, Sunday morning and Sunday night. Give God some time today to just dwell on His Word, to let His Holy Spirit work in our hearts, and hopefully take that flesh out of the way and walk in the Spirit, so that joy can come out of us. We can have that outworking. You can make some noise. We often got things on our mind. We're coming here and worried about other stuff, and it kind of distracts us from what God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to tell us, teach us. So joy in the not so enjoyable. If you're over there in 1 Thessalonians, let's look in chapter 1, verse number, starting 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Okay? So there's the Holy Ghost mentioned. And in much assurance. So he's preached the gospel to these people, to the Thessalonians. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Sorry. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word, watch this, in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. In much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. They're receiving the word of God, okay, in much affliction. First of all, if the average person on the street, you go tell them, hey, why don't you become a Christian? You get to get beat up. You get to get thrown into jail. We had a buddy over there. Yeah, he got chucked in jail last night. The other guy got stoned. Stephen, why don't you come be a Christian? Yeah, it's not very appealing to me. Receive the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So while they're being persecuted, while they're facing the persecution like we've never seen here, right? You agree? You go read Acts. We'll go over there and look at Hebrews in a moment, but they suffered some things that I don't even want to think about. Read the Book of Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't even want to think about the things they endured, but they endured it, right, for the Lord. Right? They suffered in the name of the Lord. So they received the Word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Notice the joy comes from the Holy Ghost. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So early on in their faith, notice this too. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's see. Here we go, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. They received the word of God. That's them just getting saved. Early on in their salvation, they're experiencing some affliction. If someone right away gets saved and then they get beat up for it, notice this too. If you see someone get saved, a lot of times right when they get saved is when the Satan's just trying to rip that out of their heart so they don't go any further. So they stop them right there, boom, and then they go off into the world. So they don't do anything for the Lord. You'll see people who, wherever they get saved, early on, first year maybe, and they get attacked hard. May not be this kind of affliction that they were going through at this time, but some sort of opposition, because your flesh is against you, the world's against you, and the devil's all against you. They're all fighting against you. All of them are going to work together to make sure you don't accomplish the will of God, so you don't please the Father. So early on in their faith, they received the word of God in affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. We don't see that persecution here, thank the Lord. But this does tell me that if we have affliction, we can still have joy in that. But it's through the Holy Ghost. If I'm not walking in the Spirit, I'm not going to be able to have joy in this time. I can't even have joy in the good times when I'm shouting about Jesus Christ coming back to take me out of this world. And I'm expecting myself to have joy and be able to make it through these hard times. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's look at verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, watch this, but though our outward man perish. That's not fun. Feeling that? Our outward man perishing? People make fun of me because I see my back hurts. You're a little kid. I'm like, well, I can't. Okay, my back hurts though. Just a little kid. Yeah, but it doesn't mean I'm not in pain. It doesn't mean we don't suffer. I know I'm not suffering, thank the Lord, like you know, other people are. But hey, it's a reminder that our outward man is perishing, right? Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So over time, our outward man is going downhill. Hopefully, our inward man is not just being renewed day by day and growing, right? We're growing in the Spirit. But it's a renewing, a daily renewing of the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, well, I did this yesterday. Well, what about today? Well, I messed up yesterday. I messed up last night, last week. What about today? Can't you just be renewed today and move on from that? Just think on, don't think on things of the world. Don't think on things of the flesh, of the world, the devil. Think on the things of the Lord. Verse number 17, watch this. For our light affliction, that's an interesting phrase there. Light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So you see the contrast. Light affliction. So you put them on a scale. Boom. It's some light affliction. It's light as a feather. What's coming eternally has eternal weight of glory. It completely outweighs the light affliction. But that's interesting. Light affliction, which is but for a moment. We are in there in the moment. And now look at verse 18 real quick before we move on from this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We're looking at something that's not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? It's by faith. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. So that goes right along with the previous verse, right? Your physical light affliction that you're suffering, whatever it may be. And you may not even realize you're suffering with it. And we'll look at another passage later on. But you're suffering some light affliction. It's so real to me because I can see it. I'm looking at it. And I'm not thinking about what I can't see because I can't see it if I'm walking in the flesh. How am I going to see what's not seen when what's seen is right in front of me and it's so real to me and it's in the moment? But apparently it's light affliction. It's just light affliction because what's not seen is eternal. I'm not going to be able to do that if I'm walking in the flesh. It's not going to be possible. But if I'm walking in the Spirit, I can endure this light affliction, but for a moment, with joy, knowing what comes in the end. Hebrews chapter number 12, if you want to turn there, you can, or not. Or Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, I'm just going to try to find it real quick here. Verse number 32, so we just went through all these men of faith here in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 32. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's great. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant. And fight, turn to fight the enemies of the aliens. These are all good things, right? Miracles of God. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Just give in, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had, verse 36, trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were sown, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword, they were wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So, they endured these hardships, these trials. Look what they went through. Some of them were probably going through this as he's writing this, maybe. Some of the people being tortured for their faith. And he says, it's your light affliction. My light affliction? My buddy just got sawn asunder and you're saying light affliction? Because what is it being compared to? An eternal weight of glory. It's the comparison there. Light affliction, which is but for a moment, because I have the Holy Ghost. If I'm walking in the Spirit, it's just light affliction because I have joy in the Lord. And we'll see that if you keep reading on in Hebrews 12, you'll see we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. We'll come back to that thing later, but he had joy set before him. He endured the cross because the joy that was said before him. You don't have to be happy. Oh yeah, I'm getting my arm cut off. You know, like I'm getting thrown in jail. But you know what's coming after this, right? Jesus despised the shame, but he went through it because he knew what was coming in the end. Romans. Again, these are joy. This is the not so enjoyable. That's what I'm saying. This is not fun. But Romans 8. But praise the Lord, we can have joy at all times. It's just we walk in the Spirit. And notice, it doesn't matter the outward things that are happening, because inside of me, I still have the joy. Oh, yeah, you said something mean to me. I still have joy. Oh, you said something nice to me. I have joy. Praise the Lord. Like, the joy is there, not because of something that happened on the outside, but because of something that happened on the inside. Because I got saved, and I'm a follower of Christ, and now I'm a new creature inside. And now I'm walking in the Spirit, right? Now I have the fruit of the Spirit. Romans 8, verse number, just to kind of hit this point home. 8:18. For I reckon, you gotta like the Bible words there. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That just goes right along with what we just saw with the weight being completely outweighed by what's going to happen in the end. It's not even worthy to be compared. You can't even compare it. It's off the charts. The glory which shall be revealed in us, you can't compare the sufferings which are present of this present time. I know our sufferings are not the same, but you look what's happening in our schools or whatever you want to say. Whatever sufferings you are experiencing, hope, you know, if you're of the world, you may not be experiencing the same suffering that a believer would, right? But if you're suffering for Christ, it's not worthy to be compared for what's going to come in the end. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1. Joy. So that was joy in affliction. Colossians 1. Colossians 1:11. Colossians 1 and verse number 11. So we are, hopefully you're memorizing Colossians 1. We didn't memorize this verse here, but actually let's go maybe one verse before 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Again, like when we're reading the fruit of the Spirit, we like the parts where it's like, oh, love, joy, peace, right? Love, joy, you know. But then we get to the long suffering. I don't know if I want that part. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's still all part of the fruit of the Spirit, and should all be there inside of me. It is all there inside of me if I'm saved. It may not be coming out. I may not be able to suffer long with joy if I'm. I won't be able to if I'm not walking in the Spirit. I won't be able to. So he's writing to the Colossians and he's saying to be strengthened with all might. He talks about increasing in knowledge of God, and knowledge is, you know, it's good. You know, we study the Bible. We have really good, you know, solid preaching here on the Word of God to get good study. And then where's the joy and excitement about what I'm learning or what I'm hearing? Maybe I've heard it. Oh, I've heard that before. You know a song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus? You listen to the words, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, right in my heart everywhere. It talks about telling the story to those who know it best, right? They seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. If I'm saved, that story never gets old because it just reminds me of what God did for me, right? But if I'm walking in the flesh, yeah, I can just sing this song about Tell Me the Story of Jesus, and it doesn't do anything for me, right, if I'm in the flesh. There's nothing that's happening inside that ought to come out. If I have the joy of the Lord, if I have the fruit of the Spirit, if I'm walking in the Spirit, something ought to come out. I ought to be excited. It ought to do something for me in my life. And when I'm singing about it and I'm thinking about it, man, thank the Lord. Praise God. You know, whoo! Look what He did for me. I'm saved. Praise the Lord. Long-suffering with joyfulness. So, in the midst of having to be patient, which is not fun, right? Just be patient. Yeah. You pray for patience. God puts you in a situation to be patient, right? So, in the midst of those situations, you can have joy if you have the fruit of the Spirit, right? If you're walking in the Spirit. I'm patient. I can suffer long. But do I have joy when I'm doing that? What are you doing over there? I'm just being patient. Well, you look pretty miserable. Yeah, but I'm suffering law. Like, is that really patience? If I'm not joyful at the same time, am I really being patient? I don't know. Like, it seems like it goes hand in hand that if you're miserable being patient, then are you really patient, or are you being impatient because you don't want to wait because you're upset or something? I don't know. I never really thought about that, but just reading that there. Romans 5. Now, this is only, again, as we're reading this, and we saw this last time we were reading it, Romans 5. This is only possible through the Holy Spirit. So if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Okay? You need to trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. And then you'll have the Holy Spirit. And then you'll have the fruit of the Spirit. And that's how this is possible. To have joy in long-suffering. Romans 5. Let's look at, let's start at verse 1 real quick. Therefore, being justified by faith, is that you? Raise your hand. Is that you? Justified by faith? Praise the Lord. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Man, look at how it just keeps building. I'm justified by faith. I have peace with God. Man, God's wrath was upon me, right? But then Jesus, the propitiation for our sins, right? He pacified God through His bloodshed, and then now we have access into this grace. Like our pastor always talks about, God keeps pouring more grace in. Keeps pouring more grace in. He can keep pouring it in. It'll never get empty. He'll continue to pour grace as much as you need it. He'll continue to give you grace. We have access to this grace, right, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we rejoice in hope, and now look, glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So, it's easy. I mean, I guess you wouldn't be excited, right, if you're walking in the flesh. But it's easy to be excited about the good things, right? I'm excited about what Jesus Christ did for me. I'm excited that I have peace and I have access to His grace. And because I have access to this grace, I can glory in tribulations because I still have the grace of God. God is still going to give me more and more grace. He's still going to fill me up. Right? Even though I don't deserve His grace, I don't deserve that, He's going to still give it to me. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So, you see how there's always something to look past. So if you're going through these tribulations, you're not going to be stuck in the tribulations, right? You're looking past it because you know that that's for a time. It's just for a moment. I'm just going to be enduring this thing for a time. Yeah, they may be making fun of me. I may feel uncomfortable. You know, I was at UCF. You know, I don't want people to see me passing out tracts. I know some of these people. There's my professor over there. What if they see me and they say something to me? Or, you know, what are they going to think about me? But then you see that someone point, like, that's pride right there. I'm thinking about myself and how I look to other people, not thinking about it. Yeah, how I look to other people, not thinking about, well, how do I look to God? Is God pleased with what He sees on the outside? Because He's, you know, hopefully what's on the inside is coming out. And so is God pleased with how I look toward to other people? Am I being a witness in my appearance? Or why would I be ashamed? And I thought about this when I was going through this, but we were talking about hope maketh not ashamed, and then you have Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Where does this shaming coming from? Where is the shame coming from that's in Christ that people have, that I think I experienced personally because I felt it, and maybe my flesh still wants me to feel that way. Where does this shame come from being associated with Jesus? The world makes fun of Christians, right? And people are like, oh yeah, hey, I'm a saved. Thank you for doing what you're doing. You know? And they give you, they say, thank you. I don't need a track, but you know, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. Nice shirt. Keep up the good work. But if I was out there wearing some football team's jersey, yelling about how they just won a team, the guy would be like, woo, yeah, let's go. Yeah, they won. So there's no shame there. The guy's excited And joy, the excitement's coming out, and he doesn't care who else sees it. He just sees someone else on the same team, and he's like, and something comes out of him. But someone else is on the same team as far as spiritually concerned in Jesus Christ. We're on the same team. And he sees a guy going out, passing out tracks at maybe at the block party or something, and he's got to whisper it because you're not excited about it. You're not excited. Someone else, you see someone else on the same side that's doing the same thing that you know we all should be doing for the Lord. That's doing what God told us to do, and there's no excitement about it. But or am I just ashamed? Right? Am I just ashamed of the gospel of Christ that I'll talk to you about it, but I don't want other people to know. I don't really want to make a big deal out of it. Why? Why does it? Where's the shame coming from? This Jesus dies on a cross, rises from the dead, and I'm ashamed to wear his name. I'm ashamed to wear the shirts that Bob got, right? Only Jesus saves. Is that what it says on there? He says only Jesus saves. Neither is there salvation in any other. It says on the back. Why? Where is the shame coming from? Right? It's got to be from the flesh. It's got to be from the world and the devil. It's all put on me to be ashamed to be a Christian, even though I really am, right? If you really are, you really believe this stuff, the shame is not coming from the Lord. It's coming from my flesh. And so as long as I'm walking in the flesh, I'm going to have that shame come back up and I'm not going to be doing what I ought to be doing for the Lord. So I got to get over myself, over my pride, which doesn't make I still it doesn't even make sense even if you think about it in the world standard. Why I'd be ashamed of a person who died for me. Someone who dies for you. Someone who risks their life for you. Let's say someone shoves you out of the way of an oncoming car. And you're going to be ashamed to tell people about that person? Like, this is what this person did for me? How much more someone Jesus Christ who saved me and everybody else, offers salvation to everybody else, from an eternal lake of fire in the end? It just doesn't make sense. And it makes sense biblically because we know that the flesh, right? The flesh, it doesn't have to make sense. It's sin. It's the flesh. It's the world. Why do people deny that there is a God? Because of sin in the world, right? The fool has said in his heart there is no God. When he full well knows there is a God, Romans 1, the Bible says that they knew God, but they just don't like him. So my flesh doesn't like Jesus Christ. It really doesn't. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. Everything that I ought to be doing, everything that I'll be feeling for Jesus is also completely contrasted by my flesh at the same time, right? So I ought to be serving the Lord. My flesh says no. I ought to be happy about what Jesus Christ did for me. The flesh says no. Be miserable about it. I ought to be telling other people about what Jesus did for me. The flesh says no. Just be quiet. Just go do your own thing. Let them live their lives. You live your life. Don't even. The person's on their way to hell, and they don't even know it. And I'm just sitting here comfortable. I ought to do something, right? I ought to say something, but my flesh is going to continue to push back. Any way it can. You get out there and you're about to do something. The flesh says, what if they say something you don't know how to answer? Like it's the entire step of the way when you're trying to serve the Lord, the whole time the flesh is going to be pushing against you. And that's why we've got to walk in the Spirit and overcome the flesh, right? Stop feeding the flesh. We're so used to feeding it. Let's start feeding the Spirit. Our outward man's perishing. Let's start feeding the Spirit. That was joy in patience and long suffering. Sorry, I got off on a tangent there. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I'm not talking to anybody in particular. I need this, right? I'm talking to myself because I need to have joy in the Lord. I need to have joy throughout any time, in good times and bad. I ought to have that. That fruit of the Spirit should be there. I should be walking in the Spirit to experience that, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, this is joy. Yeah, we'll look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And the start, this is a good one. They're all good, praise the Lord. But this is really interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. Start there. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Watch this. How that in great trial of affliction, and even further, the the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, that's a loaded verse right there. Okay, break this down though. This church of Macedonia, they were enduring some, it says, great trial of affliction. So before he was saying your light affliction, he goes as far as to describe this as a great trial of affliction. Okay, but in the midst of this great trial of affliction, it sounds like this is probably some church-wide thing they're experiencing here, this church of Macedonia, right? He's writing, because he says, on the churches of Macedonia. So there's something in that whole region, with any churches that were there, experiencing some sort of great trial of affliction. And they have deep poverty, okay? Great trial of affliction, deep poverty. And in the midst of that, they have the abundance of their joy abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So they have abundance of joy. So great trial of affliction, and yet abundance of joy. Not just a light affliction and then some joy. This is a great trial of affliction, and yet abundance of joy. Probably, far exceeding this trial of affliction, obviously, if they have abundance of joy here. And their deep poverty abounding unto the riches of their liberality. So there must have been, even though they were deeply impoverished, they're deeply poor, there's some rich spirituality going on here, right? They're rich spiritually, even though they're poor physically. This is kind of ringing a bell. Rich spiritually, but poor physically. I may be poor on this earth, but I'm rich in heaven. I may not have much here, but hey, but in the Lord. See, you could do, Matthew 16. You can turn there or not. But what shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You could have all the riches of the world and yet still be miserable. And look at our celebrities that people praise. They're miserable. They're committing suicide. They're overdosing on drugs. They don't want to be seen. Right? They don't have a life, maybe. Maybe because of how they've lived their lives, but they don't have a life. They can't go out because they get mobbed by people who want to see them and take pictures or whatever. But they don't have the joy in Christ. Why not? You have all this money. You have great riches. Why are you not joyful? Isn't that what we were told? I just need some money in my pocket, and then I'll be okay. You don't get joy from money, right? We get joy from the Spirit. So you can gain the whole world, lose your own soul. And be miserable for eternity. much worse than just misery, but you'll be suffering for eternity because you sought the world and you weren't concerned with your soul. And think about this too. I was thinking about this passage here in 2 Corinthians 8. This church had so much joy. This Macedonian church. He's writing to Corinth and he's like, did you hear about the people over there in that church? And they had so much joy that God took the time to write it down for you and I to read nearly 2,000 years later about how much joy, abundance of joy this church had, these churches in this area had through their great tribulation. That's how great of joy that they had. It was so much joy, you had to write about it. God wrote about it. He put it in His Word that will last forever, right? That's how much joy they had. Now, God didn't write down about the mega church that was down the road. He may not be writing to one in Corinth if they're, I don't know. He writes to churches, but he's not writing down, look how great that church was. They took in $10 million and they built this large church, had thousands of people. No, he's writing about, look at this church over here. Look at these churches over there. Great trial of affliction, abundance of joy. Use them as an example of how you ought to be responding. It's almost like maybe the church at Corinth needed some affliction. Maybe I need some affliction to remind me of the joy I have in Christ. Now that's some joy though, for God to write it down in His Word. I said here, God doesn't care about how much money you take in, but where's your joy at? we log how much money comes in. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? We log how much money we come in. We're very good about it. We say, this is how much money came in. This is where all the money went to. We show it. It's all available. God's up there. How much joy does this church have today? Oh, they had this much joy last month, and this is how much joy they have in the next month. Oh, they went through these trial afflictions, and no, there's no joy. Or this church didn't have any afflictions, and there's not even hardly any joy there. He's recording, he's writing down, apparently, taking note of when a church has a lot of joy, and showing us as an example how we ought to be as a church. In contrast, that with the church of Laodicea. Go read over there Revelation 3, and they were rich, yet they didn't realize they were poor, right? And blind and naked, they were miserable. So they had physical, it's such a contrast. They had the physical, but they were dead spiritually. These don't have the physical, but they're rich spiritually. There's a phrase that people quote sometimes now, especially with the Civil War talk, whatever, looming even more and more. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. It's kind of like a circle, right? And then you have hard times again, creating strong men. And maybe there's some truth to that in the world, right? If you when people go through some hardships, like the Great Depression. People that came out of that were some strong people, and even their kids are still pretty strong, right? Had to go through some hard times, and then it created some good times, but then the good times create the weak men, which create hard times again because people aren't strong. And now, so I think there is some spiritual truth there, but you see that we go through some sufferings and become better, we come out better in the end, which is interesting that the world does find some. God gives them some spiritual truths there sometimes. Turn to Acts. We got one time for one more. I was hoping to get done with this, but I might just hint on the rest of it. Acts 13. And I encourage you to do your own study on joy and just look at it in the Bible. It's so much there, just on one word and how it's used. But you do see a lot of times it's associated with some noise, some outworking. Acts 13, and look at verse number 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. And disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So, obviously, there's a lot more that they went through in Acts. But you just see here, directly after, they go and preach the Word of God in the city. They get thrown out of a city. Right? Expel them out of their coasts. And they just go, shake the dust off our feet and let's go to the next city. And they were filled with joy. Well, thank you, Lord. I just got thrown out of town. What? It's kind of interesting, right? Like they're filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost because they're suffering for Christ's sake, right? Look what Christ suffered on the cross. This is nothing compared to that. He took the wrath of God. Getting thrown out of a city, that's nothing. Yeah, but hey, I have joy because of the Holy Ghost. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. They're walking in the Spirit. They're doing what God wants them to do. And so they can have joy in the midst of being cast out of town. So we can have joy. Now, you go preach on the street, you're not going to get thrown out of town. Maybe in certain countries or states. There was a guy who, I think it was in the United States, maybe a couple weeks ago, preaching on the street across from some wickedness happening on the other side, probably. And it was like one of those, trying to indoctrinate kids to some stuff we don't want to talk about. And he just, there's a cop there, and he just quotes a scripture. That's literally all he did. As you watch the video, he quotes the scripture, cop grabs him, starts putting him in handcuffs, takes him out of there. In the United States, right? So it is possible that you could get thrown out of town, taken to jail or something, or expelled for preaching the Word of God. It's not common. It's not legal. It's not constitutional, but what do they care, right? They have their state. So you go preach the Word of God, you might face some persecution. You walk in the Spirit, you might face some adversity, but you'll be walking in the Spirit. And so you have the fruit of the Spirit. And we can have the joy of the Lord, and we can serve the Lord wherever we go. We got thrown out of town. Oh, well, there's another town over here. It's okay. We'll go over there and preach the gospel. It's no big deal. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So, hey, wherever we're at, wherever we're thrown out to, wherever we're called, we're sent, we'll go and preach the gospel, give out the word. Don't stop serving the Lord just because you got rejected. Right? And even by the same person. I've seen the same person be offered a tract like 5 times and finally take one after the 6th one. The same person. And this has happened several times. Maybe not five times, but several times where someone's gone by when you're out there passing tracts out. And they'll just go back and forth. And you'll say, maybe this time? You know, one more time? Second chance? Third chance? Fourth chance? And they'll like laugh, and then they'll finally take one, and then they might read it. I even had, we'll have people throw them out. We had people burn one in front of us. I think Jonathan, somebody took a track and burned it in front of Jonathan. I was out of Daytona, and apparently, yeah, people were taking the tracks. And I was walking back, and you see a track on the ground. But then, as I'm walking, this dude in front of me, he sees the track, picks it up, and then he starts reading it. So one person just throwing the word of God away, what has the word of God on it, and the gospel away. And then another person picking up the trash, and he's like, oh, wait, this is actually some information. This is something here, and he starts reading it. So you never know how God's going to use the seed that's sown, whether it's a gospel tract or something you say to somebody. Because they'll even mock you, and they'll even take videos of you and show other people. They'll try to make fun of you. And when they're showing other people, they're actually now giving out the gospel, and they don't even realize it. They're actually helping you out. Oh, thank you for making fun of me to your friends. Now they got to hear the gospel too. Praise the Lord. Right? The word's going to get out. Count it all joy and keep going. Right? So, just for sake of time, I'll just kind of mention a couple of these things. Another one in Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 22 through 24 talks about Paul having joy in death, knowing that he served the Lord and that he followed him. And you can look at 1 Corinthians 15, death is swallowed up in victory. We have victory, right? Victory in Jesus. Man, the song gets me excited. So the death of myself or the death of others, I can still have joy. And then Hebrews 12, we mentioned that. Jesus. I can read that real quick. Maybe just real quick. We'll go to Hebrews 12. We didn't actually hit on it. We mentioned it. But look at Hebrews 12 in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You see that? That's the flesh. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So don't walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. You're getting worn out, you're getting tired. Look at what Jesus Christ did. Go to the Gospels especially and read what he did for you, and that he can have joy in the midst of that. And compare that to my light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's affliction. Maybe it could be great trial of affliction, but it wasn't what Jesus Christ went through. And yet, even if it was, he had joy in the midst of it. And it will never be, because he took the wrath of God for you. Then I have a whole other section we can, about joy, joy in the future. So that's joy in the not so enjoyable. Maybe another time we can look at joy in the future, but there's joy coming. Psalms 30, verse 5 talks about joy coming. 1 Peter 4:13, suffering with Christ and we'll be partakers of joy with Christ in the end. 1 Peter 1 talks about, verse 7 talks about joy unspeakable. We now have therefore have sorrow. John 16, 22 You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. They can't take away what God gave you. God gave it to you, but you can forfeit it. You can give it up. You can walk in the flesh and give up your joy, or you can walk in the Spirit, and no man's going to take it from you. No man's going to take the joy from you. So something can't come from the outside and take away your, rob you of your joy. And the last mention of joy is in Jude 1:24. It talks about us having joy in the presence of the Lord. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that we have in the Holy Spirit. God, help us to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, and to yield to you and let that Holy Spirit, let this fruit of the Spirit come out and that joy come out. And just show a little excitement for what you did for us, Lord. And also just in the midst of these afflictions and trials that we may have to go through, as we know the rain falls on just and the unjust, that we would just lean on you and walk in the Spirit and still have that joy in Christ. So we give you all the glory, what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.